Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the Currently Bossing Podcast, powered by the Boss Hub Agency. I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and happy 2024. Like, we are officially in the new year, and we are continuing our season of The Art of Being Well. I have personally loved all of the interviews that I've had throughout this season, and I wasn't ready to end it yet. So, The Art of Being Well is continuing. And we are speaking to Elena Fingal today. She is a financial coach. And when I tell you all, she drops some major gems in this podcast episode for you to boss up in your personal and business finances. Like, you're gonna wanna grab a pen, grab your notes app, like anything, and just take down all of these gems because they were amazing. So more about Elena. Elena is an accountant, certified financial coach, author, and content creator, and she helps busy people who struggle with budgeting and time management use a paper planner to get organized. She shares her easy approach to finances through her YouTube channel and has amassed over 160,000 subscribers and 13 million views on her platform. Elena's work has been featured in Yahoo Finance, The New York Weekly, The Huffington Post, and recently she was named one of LA Wire's 40 Under 40. Elena lives in New Orleans, Louisiana with her husband Tori and their two daughters, Tori Michelle and Alyssa Jade.
Elena, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you here and to just talk about all things money.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes. So what I love to do is just paint the scene for our listeners a little bit. So if you could tell us a little bit about you and your career journey, we'd love to hear that.
Yeah, sure. So I started a company called The Organized Money, and I started in 2017. And this was off of a five-year personal financial journey that I started in 2012. So in 2012, I got pregnant with our first baby. I now have two daughters. Me and my husband have two daughters. But at that time, me and my husband were living paycheck to paycheck. And I was just young, just had gotten married. And so we were just like living life. And ultimately, once I got pregnant, I was like, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I was going to be responsible for another human being. And I wanted to get my finances together. And so I started my own personal journey for 5 years, 2017. I had a lot of family and friends asking about what I was doing because they noticed the changes. And I started the Organized Money shortly after. It started off as a hobby and it grew to so much more. And now since 2021, I've been doing this full time, and I absolutely love helping people organize their life and their money through the use of a paper planner. And I usually am teaching systems and just helping people get organized.
I love that it started with your personal journey first. I feel like so many great things come out of like your personal desire to want more or to strive for more for yourself. How did you get out of that mindset of the paycheck to paycheck mentality? I feel like so many of us, that kind of like holds us down, right? So like we're either purchasing things in advance because we know that our next paycheck is going to come, or we're just doing things that are above our means when we know that it's not going to be sufficient enough for what our current paycheck is going to be. So how do you get out of that mentality?
I believe that, I know for me personally, I hit a wall, in which I say my wall was when I got pregnant, because when me and my husband got married, I always was like, oh, well, I can just put this off and wait till payday. It was always like, oh, well, I know I need this right now, or I want to cook a big meal, but we can't get a bunch of groceries right now because I can't afford it. So I'll just get this small thing right now, or I'll get fast food right now, or I'll just do this. And I really had this buy now, pay later type of mentality where I would use Afterpay, I would use all of those types of services, I would put things on credit cards. That was my whole mentality until I had my aha moment. I believe that we all hit this aha moment, and it's different for every person. For me, it was getting pregnant. I know for other people, it is getting married. For others, it's just, I'm tired of bill collectors calling me. Like, that could be, you have this moment of clarity where you're like, I am tired of the anxiety. I had a lot of financial anxiety. I had a lot of stress thoughts around money. I couldn't sleep at night. And all of those, along with the fact that I knew I was bringing life into the world, it created this combination of, I really want to change my entire mindset when it comes to money and change the math of money. So I believe that everyone has that moment. It depends on what yours is, but when you have it, you ultimately want to intake all the financial knowledge that you possibly can to change the situation that you're currently in.
I definitely agree with that, and I would definitely say my aha moment was last year for me. Just thinking about the mistakes I've made along the way, being a new entrepreneur, and then now entering newlywed life and having, my husband also be the one that I have to, I guess, kind of confide in and be transparent with when it comes to my money habits or lack thereof, right? And then now moving into the next phase of thinking about family and do we want to buy a house and all of these things that you start to think about. I definitely hit my wall and I was just like, no, some things need to change. And my mentality and my limiting beliefs around money need to change as well if I want to get to the level that I know I can get to. So I guess with that being said, what are some common struggles you've seen amongst your clients when it comes to combating their current financial situations or just thinking about money in general?
Yeah, so I feel like it falls under usually two to three categories. The very first one is just being stuck in a cycle. And it's the paycheck to paycheck cycle where you feel like you're being bombarded with so many expenses and you just can't get out of the hole. It could be credit cards that may be holding you, or it could be just having those Afterpay charges, buy now, pay later types of things. And those types of things are just keeping you in this cycle and you're struggling to get out. So that's the very first one. The second one that I've seen a lot is a loss of income. So you lost your job, something major has happened, and it has put you in kind of an emergency situation, but you didn't have the emergency fund built up to help you with this particular situation. And so once again, you feel like you are just trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. You are struggling. And the third one is usually some type of shopping or expense challenge, meaning that you spend a lot and you can't get to the core root of why you're spending the way that you're spending. And it's causing you to stay once again in this cycle of continuously spending more money than you actually have. And with though all three of those situations, some of them, it's the math of money. A lot of times it ends up being the mind of money, meaning that we need to change our mindset or the way that we're looking at things or change our strategy, change our system in order to be able to move past this particular cycle that we're in. And it is a cycle that just kind of continues until we really like look it in the eye and say, okay, what exactly I have to do and lay out the steps and like really attack it every single day.
I've definitely seen all three of these within myself, but then also in like family members and friends. And just like when you're around kind of like similar mentalities about money, it kind of keeps you in the state of limiting beliefs and just holding you down from the goals that you have. Especially that second one that you said, the loss of income, it hits hard. And when you are in that paycheck to paycheck mentality, I feel like you end up leaning on like your credit cards or end up leaning on other avenues to help you stay afloat. But it's like that emergency mindset that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that there are a couple of things that come into play. One, what you said as far as the circle you're surrounded with, like the people that are around you. If the people that are around you are not as concerned with finances or their financial future personally, then they could possibly influence you to not care as well. They may say, oh, well, we're like, let's just live life. You only live once. YOLO, all of those types of things, but it keeps you in the cycle that they are still currently in. And there is a strategy that's kind of going around. It's a trend that's going around on TikTok, and it's called loud budgeting. Not sure if you've heard it, but it's like the opposite of quiet luxury, where last year everyone was into quiet luxury, where it was like no name brands, but you were spending a lot of money. But loud budgeting is the opposite, where we are being very vocal with our family and our friends about our financial goals and saying, hey, yeah, I'm not gonna go to dinner because I'm gonna save my money instead. And I'm going, this is my goals, and I wanna buy a house, and I wanna do this. So I want all of you all accountable because this is the loud budgeting goal that I have. And I love the trend. I love the strategy. I hope it's here to stay because it takes us out of pretending with the people around us, especially our family and friends, because they can influence our purchases the most. And so it puts us in a mindset of accountability and actually being honest with what we have and what we can afford.
I love that trend. I don't think I've reached that side of TikTok yet, but I need to be on that side of TikTok because I'm definitely going to get a little vulnerable and personal about my journey. But I can relate to that so much. Number one, just setting boundaries when it comes to money with family, with friends, and just being open and honest and transparent about what your goals are. And whether you can either contribute or go to that dinner or buy that gift or whatever the case may be. I remember early on when I first moved to New York, I knew that I wasn't getting paid enough at all. Like I was barely had money for rent and just like paying for anything extra just felt extreme and just caused like a lot of stress and anxiety. So one of the things that I turned to was PayPal credit card. And I think during that time, PayPal was like really pushing their PayPal credit card. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like they're gonna give me $4,000 to $5,000 line of credit. And this is my first real experience with a credit card, right? And from that point, I just decided to ball out on my family and friends for Christmas. Like literally balled out. Like I don't know who I thought I was, but the crazy part is that what I spent on that PayPal credit card ended up going to collections because I knew that I didn't have the funds to pay it off at the rate that I needed to pay it off. And also just like having that mindset of, oh, I'll pay it later. Or, okay, like I have time to pay it. I just need to make more so that I can do that was really holding me back. And happy to say that definitely closed the door on that 2 years ago, paid everything off and just moved forward with life. But that really was an eye opener for me because it helped me realize that I cannot deplete myself just to make myself look a certain way, even if it's for family or friends. So if there's something that I need to say no to in that moment, I have to be bold in saying no to that and also not feel pressured to over explain why it is I'm saying no to that as well.
Exactly. I know I have a couple of clients who I've met with in January, and this is usually always the influx. It's always January because of Christmas. And it is because they did not feel like they had room to say no to family and friends. So they had all of these presents that they felt like they absolutely had to purchase. It was almost like, I can't not purchase these gifts. I have to get these gifts, even though I cannot afford it. And so it ended up on average, the average person went into debt like $1,500 extra and over and above what they would normally do in a normal month. And it is because they felt like they had to do this for their kids. My kids have to have this type of Christmas because I didn't have this type of Christmas. Or my parents have to have this gift because what they have done for me is, and so it's all of these things that we will tell ourselves, but it's ultimately feeling like we absolutely cannot say no, and our family and friends are not going to love us unless we, give them all of these things. And half the time, studies show that most people aren't as overwhelmed or consumed with gifts as much as we think they are. It's usually about the thought. And even if you got them something smaller, they probably would be just as happy, even if it wasn't a super expensive gift. Now, there are some people out there that are a little bit different that will push the needle, but that is even something to say that they don't respect a financial boundary. That if I say, hey, I can't afford it, and you still pressure me to buy this thing, then what does that say about our relationship as a whole? I think that that is the thought process we need to start to think instead of, I just have to do this in order to make this person happy.
No, absolutely. And I've definitely found myself in situations like that. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things that has helped me is if the roles were reversed, that person might not feel bound to telling me yes or to doing what it is, I'm looking for them to do. And so in the same way, you just have to respect people and their boundaries and their accessibility or capability to do something at that point in time. If they don't have the funds, then they don't have the funds. And even if they do have the funds, maybe they still can't do it because there's some other things that they're trying to accomplish in that process.
And I think that that's why I say I love the loud budgeting strategy, because I feel like it takes all of the blinders off, it takes all of the pretending off, and it makes you way more free with just saying exactly where you are and removing the shame that we have around money. A lot of people have a lot of shame if they feel like they don't have enough of it and they don't want to share that. But a lot more people are actually struggling than we may even realize. And being open and honest with your family and friends, or even just setting boundaries. Maybe you do have the money and you just don't want to spend it the way that they are asking you to spend it. You don't want to do that. That is okay. And that should not change the relationship as a whole.
When you kind of also have that mind mentality, being an independent woman, I found myself early on, dating my husband, right? Me not wanting to show that maybe I don't have the funds to do X, Y, and Z, or wanting to show that I had it, right? Not wanting to give off that persona that I did not have it, or that I was not independent, or whatever the case may be. I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves to project this have it all lifestyle that we're not being honest. And I think when we are able to take that veil off, we're able to really tap into our most true and authentic self and allow people to help us, whether that is giving us knowledge like what you're doing, or being able to refer us to some tools and resources that we can use to kind of help us along our journey.
I agree. I always tell my clients whenever they feel like they can't, even with me, sometimes they don't want to be completely honest. I always say, hey, progress and perfection can't share the same seat. You can't pretend to be perfect and look for progress in an area that you are pretending that you're perfect in. If I just act like I have the perfect body, then me going to the gym might be looked at as, oh, well, why would you go to the gym? You may say, oh, I don't need that, right? And that's kind of the concept that I believe a lot of us will put in place, especially when it comes to our finances. We won't have those conversations. We won't look at the budget. We won't open up our bank accounts because we want to keep this idea of perfect. And when you open up that bank account, it is very honest. It will tell you exactly where you are. Transactions don't lie, right? They will tell you where you're spending your money. And that's okay because you're making progress in a direction that you want to go. And we can't expect to act perfect in an area where we need to make progress. You have to accept where you are and start those steps to making that actual progress, which means that you have to be honest first with yourself, because a lot of us don't want to be even honest with ourselves. We hide the truth from ourselves and with people who absolutely need to know where we are, especially like our spouses. I have a lot of couples where wives don't share certain things that they're doing, or husbands don't share what is happening with the finances, and it's hurting their marriage as a total because they aren't being honest with one another, and it's causing a lot of financial disagreements. And so you have to be willing to be a little bit more vulnerable and say, hey, I'm not perfect. This is just where I am. Even as a financial coach, there have been mistakes where I'm like, oh, I could have definitely done that better. Like, definitely messed that up to this day. And I still am very honest, even with my audience, and say, hey, look, I messed up. Look, I'm gonna share what I did so that you don't make the same mistake and you can learn from my mistakes.
That is so true. And I love what you said about progression and perfection cannot share the same seats. Oh, that is true. Because I feel like, we try to put up this front, like everything's okay. But it's not, that front is not going to allow us to progress.
Exactly.
I need to write that down somewhere on a sticky note. That definitely hit. So just transitioning a little bit to entrepreneurs, right? And the certain financial mindsets and habits that they really have to instill so that they could be fit to run their business and to have the financial backing to run their business. So when it comes to starting a business, what financial systems or tools should entrepreneurs have in place if they want their business to be successful?
So when it comes to financial tools, one of my favorite is actually using QuickBooks. I use QuickBooks very much, like a lot, for operating my payroll, operating, like looking over my expenses for my business. I think that with entrepreneurs, one of the best things that you can do is monitor your expenses from the get. And I know that as soon as you start, most of us are so focused on revenue. We're so focused on trying to make the income that we need to make. And so we're putting money into our business, but we're just kind of throwing it at the wall. We may not have a separate business bank account. We're just trying to get everything started, and not having that organization in place can sometimes hurt us when it comes time to like reviewing our financials as a business owner. You need to know how much does it cost to run your business on a monthly basis? What systems do you need in place in order to run that business? And how much is that? And then how much do you need to live? Because those are two separate numbers. And so when I first started, the biggest mistake I made was thinking about what I needed to make personally and disregarding what my business needed to run. So I was just trying to hit the income number in order to pay my bills. Then I would pay my bills, and then I couldn't afford to buy supplies for my business or to pay for all of the systems that I have and all the subscriptions that I have. And it created this cycle where I'm like, if I have a really, really good month, I paid myself too much. If I had a bad month, I didn't pay myself at all because all of the money got to go into the business. I didn't have a steady system of running payroll the exact same, no matter what my revenue was, and knowing what my business needed and what I needed. And so QuickBooks helped me to figure that out and helped me to see, okay, this is how much my business is making on average. I know for entrepreneurs, it can go up and down, but usually you can figure out what's that middle number, what's that average number, and what I needed personally and what my business needed in order to keep everything running.
I feel like I'm just now, well, within the past year, coming out of that season of maybe paying myself too much or not pouring into my business enough or not having enough to pour back into my business in certain ways when it came to things that I needed. And I think it was a great learning, but what I also learned was that I wasn't in my financial platforms enough. So I currently use 1-800-Accountant, and in there they have where you can, look at your expenses and income month over month, all of these tools, right, that I could be utilizing. But I think in my mind, I was just scared to see the numbers. I was scared to see, okay, how much am I paying towards contractors or how much do these subscriptions cost? Because those big numbers made me feel nervous, right? But I think just being able to look at the numbers and look at what you have readily available, like for you to access, is going to do so much for you if you are able to combat that. And I definitely had to learn to do that.
Yeah, and a formula that I love to give entrepreneurs, and I will usually tell them this as they are getting started, is 50%, this is just kind of roundabout percentages because I feel like that works better for entrepreneurs. 50% should go to basically payroll, 10% toward savings, 10% toward the growth of your business, and then 30% toward your operating. And I have had entrepreneurs that say, oh, well, if I do 50% of my income toward my payroll, then I wouldn't have enough to do all of the other things, or I wouldn't have enough to run the business. That isn't in that 30% isn't enough. And then I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, now we need to focus in on revenue, on how to bring in and get that number that you need. That means that you're not making enough because the percentages should help you kind of realize how much you need to make in order to be able to have 50% of your payroll that goes toward you and whoever else you hire, that I can live off of 50% because my revenue is high enough to where that 50% is enough for me to be able to pay all of my personal bills. And so the idea here is that even if you take those percentages and you change them, is that it gives you kind of a template or a system that you could put in place because this is what I do personally. These are the percentages that I use. And then if I come across a conference that I'm like, ooh, I really want to attend that, then my 10% growth account is what pays for me to go to that conference and it doesn't affect the operations of my business. And so creating these types of systems where you look at 1-800-Accountant and you have a QuickBooks and you have a day that you are dedicated to reviewing all of your financials. So I'm looking at my personal finances and my business finances, and I am looking at those on a monthly basis to make sure that I'm making sound decisions instead of just going after revenue because you could hit the number of revenue that you want and still kind of not put it in the places that it need to be, and it kind of falls out the system, and then it feels like it's slipping through your fingers just like it would if it's your personal business bank account. So the best thing to do is to have some type of system of how you're going to pay yourself and how you're going to operate your business and stick to that system for a consistent basis so that it helps you with taxes, it helps you with just managing your overall accounts, and it helps you to know what income marks you need to hit in order to be able to continue to grow your business.
Thank you for that breakdown. I love that. definitely will be implementing that into my business for sure. Because yeah, it was definitely a learning process these past few years of entrepreneurship, but I feel like I'm in a good mindset to start taking in the knowledge and actually executing it and implementing it. So you mentioned savings. So 10% of savings towards your business savings, right? Or are you talking about
Yes.
personal savings? Okay,
No, this is
perfect.
business saving. Yes.
Okay, perfect. And then when it comes to entrepreneurs who are like, okay, I want to get a business credit card, right? What are some best practices or some thought processes they should think about before even going towards that route?
So before you get a business credit card, I ultimately believe that you need to do two things first. The first thing is you should be hitting your income goals at least 6 months consistently. So for 6 months, every single month, you have either hit the goal or exceeded that goal. That's the first thing. And the reason why I'm saying this is because credit cards, we have to pay them back. And you want to make sure you're in a great space to where you can consistently pay that card over and over. And 6 months is a great kind of span of time to really be able to see. If you can make it a year, that's even perfect because that means you go through all four seasons, all four cycles of your business, and you can feel when your business is the most profitable and when it's not. When I'm talking about that 10% savings account, that 10% savings account comes into play with multiple things. The first thing it comes into play with is taxes, because as entrepreneurs, taxes is its own thing. Secondly, if we don't hit our income goals, then we need to have that savings account to kind of fall back on for our personal pay and to operate our business. And so if you aren't hitting that goal at least 6 months to 12 months, then what ends up happening is either you're going to deplete your savings account and you won't be able to pay back that credit card, or you're going to struggle a lot with that credit card payment, depending on how much you are at, how much has on it. Now, I love American Express business credit system because there are no limits, but they will kind of tell you, hey, this is how much you could possibly spend. This is what we believe you can kind of afford. And then they're really like looking at your overall business income. It's based off of your personal credit first, and then as your business grows, then it graduates to a full business credit card. And I believe even though American Express, you have to pay it in full, I kind of like that. I like the fact that paying it in full, because it removes you from getting into a lot of trouble when it comes down to credit cards, especially with a business credit card, because usually the lines of credit are a little bit more. You could end up spending $20,000 on a business credit card quick, depending on what you are purchasing for your business. And so you want to make sure that whatever you're spending, you're able to pay back, and just have it in the back of your mind that if I spend this, I have to pay this back in 30 days. It kind of keeps you in check and makes you really consider your purchases. So those are my two top things that I would definitely say. Make sure that your income is steady for at least 6 months to 12 months, and make sure that you are picking a business credit card that has wonderful rewards. Like American Express has really great rewards, and I believe it wouldn't get you in as much trouble as the average credit card that you can just automatically get into debt and end up owing it for years.
No, I love that. And you're right about American Express. I do love that you have to pay it in full. So I think that that's a good practice anyway. But I guess what are some of your advice when it comes to a good rule of thumb when it comes to credit card utilization?
So when you are building up your credit account or your business credit in total, I would say if first, before you have a credit card, especially if you are using some type of supplies where you are doing any type of packaging, I love using Uline system because they have a way where you can put things on 30-day payments and it goes toward your business credit, which means that As soon as you have opened up your business, if you open up an account with them under your business name, now your business is getting credit, is showing history that you have a business that is consistently making monthly payments or can pay off invoices. The next thing that you want to do is once you get a credit card, is decide what's going to be the main use of that credit card. Are you going to use that credit card for your overall business growth? If you're going to use it for growth, then you are curtailing the expenses around this credit card to either be only for conferences, only for classes, only for these things in particular. Or you could decide that I'm only going to use this credit card for supplies. And on a monthly basis, I'm only using this for supplies. And the reason why I'm saying this is because with a business, there are so many expenses that are coming at us at one time. And since there are so many, it's easy for us to pull out our credit card for each and every purchase that is coming our way. So deciding ahead of time, what am I using this credit card for? And how am I strategically using this to build my credit? What exactly am I trying to accomplish with this credit card? Helps you not to fall into the pitfall of just using it for everything and ending up with a really, really expensive bill. So I have two business credit cards. One I use very specifically for supplies, and the other one I use very specifically for growth. And each one, I can pretty much, especially if you're doing supplies, if I'm doing the one that has supplies, I pretty much know how much I'm going to charge on that card every single month because I know how much my business costs to run. And since I know on a monthly basis what everything costs me to run, I know how much I'm going to end up spending on subscriptions, on everything that is on that credit card. Or if I'm using my growth one, then I know exactly what I am spending for this conference or for this particular thing that's going to help my business grow. And that doesn't happen every single month. That only happens every now and then, every couple of months, which means I know I will have time to pay it off. So usually I tell people to pick one or the other, either for some type of day-to-day expenses, some type of supplies, so that you know exactly how much that credit card is going to be on a monthly basis, or you're choosing it for growth. That way, you know you're not going to be charging all the time, but it will be every now and then, and you pretty much know how much that is going to be and how long it's going to take you to pay it off. So, both of just having some type of strategy behind how you're using the card instead of just using it for everything is probably one of the best things that you can do because it puts you in the frame of mind of really deciding how you're spending the money that's on this card.
That's really good. I think that sometimes when you have the opportunity to have a line of credit for your business, you're thinking about all of the things that you can pay for with that new line of credit, right? Like, oh, I can pay for my inventory, or I can pay for all of these things. But that's not really a clear strategy, like you said, to just throw everything on the business card and just expect that hopefully you're going to make it back throughout the process of running your business and not knowing what your true operating expense is. So I love that breakdown. And I guess leading into that, for entrepreneurs who have made some mistakes in their business along the way, they're feeling stuck. They're feeling like, oh, like how do I get out of this cycle with my business where I am spending more than I'm making, and I feel like I'm not able to get a real handle on things. What is some advice you would kind of give them to just help propel them forward and to change their mindset around that?
So one thing that I do love just about being an entrepreneur as a whole is that we have so many different ways that we can make income. And I believe that what has happened is that, especially with a lot of business owners, is that we find one way and we kind of get stuck in that one way. We really zone in on that one way and we like just go all in. But if that one way that we have discovered starts to falter, let's say you have products and you have been selling a lot of products, And then there comes a time where your products aren't selling as much as they did at one point in time. I'll use myself for example. When I first started, I started in 2017, but I introduced my first product, which was a planner, in 2019. When I introduced my planner, it did wonderfully that very first year. I sold a lot, and then the second year I sold a lot up until January, like the mid-January. And then I started to realize every year, mid-January, my sales would drop. But they dropped because everyone had already purchased their planner for the new year, and I don't need a new planner January 15th because more than likely I already have mine. And what I was like, oh my goodness, my business is failing. But it wasn't failing. I was just in a down season. And I didn't put it together until probably like the second year where I realized, no, it's the exact same thing happening every single time. So I need to think of another service, another way that I can connect with my clients that's going to help them during this season that I could promote during this season. And I think that that's the thing. If you sell products, maybe you can do digital products as well, something else, or memberships or one-on-one services where you do coaching calls. But you need to think of at least 4 to 8 revenue streams that are coming into your business and consider the overhead for each one of those streams. So, for instance, my stream of products, planners, they are my top stream. But they're also my top overhead spending item, right? Because I also have to get shipping supplies and all of the things that require to make the planner. So that is going to be my top revenue product, but it's also my top expense. However, my membership is probably my third or fourth way that I make money, but it's a higher way that I can make money during the times where my products aren't selling the most. Because the overhead is so low. The overhead is me jumping on and using my knowledge to connect with my members. And so that may be an hour of my time on a weekly call with them. It could be one-on-one calls where I'm talking to them. It could be, but because the overhead is just my time, now the income that comes from that, I am able to use more of that money to go toward my business because there aren't any additional expenses that come with that, unless it's just we're talking about my time and my labor. So that's the thing that we need to think of as entrepreneurs. Okay, yes, I have this one thing that I absolutely love, but what else could I possibly do? What else? How can I use this exact same knowledge that I have to do multiple things and make money with that same knowledge? And it could be showing you how to use this product in the best of your ability, or teaching you more about this thing, or just having a one-on-one call where I'm your accountability coach, whatever the case may be. I think that thinking of multiple ways to bring money into your business is probably one of the best things that you can do, because when you have a down season, you can lean in on, and you can even strategize, okay, this is, I know around January, I'm going to be promoting this because this is probably not going to be, this top revenue stream is not going to be my top revenue at this time. So I'm going to move something else to the top just during that time.
Times like that also help you to identify benchmarks in your business too, right? Like if you know that during this time it's going to be like a lull period for your business, then it allows you to be innovative in maybe ways that you weren't being innovative before and think of something that you can kind of implement into your business during those lull seasons that will spike your revenue but not take too much away from you. So I think that's such a great way to think about it. And I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs definitely need that if they're feeling stuck during the season.
Yeah, one of my favorite books is called The 12-Week Year. It is by Brian Moran, but basically in that book, it talks about basically quarterly planning and how you need to plan your life in that quarter. So every single quarter, I am looking at it as its own little section of my life, and I am thinking about my business from quarter to quarter instead of year to year. And what I might be doing from January through April and what I am promoting during that time might be different from what I am promoting from May to July, right? And so you break it down by the four quarters and you think of your business as, okay, what am I promoting? What am I launching? What are my products? What's my top revenue stream? And you can even look back on past years and see what was the trend back then for the last four quarters, and can I apply and look at those same trends for the next four quarters? It helps you to plan way more strategically and helps you to zone in on what's working for your business and what's not working each quarter of the year. And that will probably work and help you to make more money in the long run.
Love that. I think quarterly planning and also like quarterly planning when you think about your taxes too is something that I've been just like taking on and just thinking more, okay, what do I need to kind of like pay on my estimated taxes this period, or what are some things that I'm kind of activating during this period instead of thinking about, okay, I need to pay my taxes for the year. Like, how do you get ahead in your planning process? So I'm glad you said
Yes, 100%. Yeah, in my quarterly planner, that is, I'll pay the taxes from the previous year. I'll file and do all of that, the estimated tax return. And then I also look at my products and see what I'm launching. I look at my growth and see if there's any courses, anything that I want to take that's going to help me enhance. I look at the books that I'm reading. And so you make this whole day where you just dedicate to actually looking a little bit ahead, and you would be surprised at how much your business will grow because of that. I started this process in 2020, and it was because we were in the pandemic and I didn't have anything else to do. So when the world shut down, I was like, well, I might as well start planning a little bit better and looking at this. And I was inside, so I was like, well, I'm gonna start quarterly planning. And I started writing out all of these lists, and my business blew up in 2020. By the end of 2020, I had the most social media growth, I had the most income growth, and I was like, okay, I'm on to something, because I was just way more strategic and way more in tune with what my audience really wanted from me during the seasons that I was operating throughout the year. And I think that any entrepreneur that applies this concept, I believe their business will grow. It's proof. I've seen it over and over and over again. If you intentionally plan and really start to look at your numbers and start to strategize, it's going to show fruit at some point. Something's going to grow and it's going to blossom. And you're going to be like, yep. And then you just rinse and repeat every year. You just keep doing it.
No, that's so great. And is that something, the quarterly planning, is that something that you have in the current planner that you have available, or what are some features that you have?
So my Time 90 planner, it's called Time 90 because it's a 90-day planner, which is 12 weeks. And that is the planner that I use in order to organize my entire life and my money. And it's all in this one book. And it is what I use for my quarterly planning process. I am thinking about 3 months. I am looking at it in four different categories. So my categories are broken down into my life planning. So I'm thinking about my health goals, my beauty goals, my family goals, and all of those. And then I have my mental goals, which are what books I want to read and what I need to do mentally to help myself become personal development and business development. And then I also have my work, which is my actual business. And then the fourth area is my budget, which is my money. And so with each one of these areas, I either where it's my personal, my work, my professional development, or my money, I am thinking for the quarter, what do I want to happen in this area of my life? And then I write it down. And then the 12 weeks is me planning out how I'm going to create the habits that connect to the goal so that on a daily basis, I am hitting the mark that I want to hit.
I'm literally on your shop right now, about to add that to my cart. You know what? I feel like when we're planning something for the year, or even like goal setting for the year, right? It gets daunting, right? Because you either keep pushing it off because you know that you have 12 months to do it, or it just feels very scary to just plan and kind of like take on those goals for the year. But when you break it down into quarterly or monthly, it feels a little bit more achievable and bite-sized. I feel like you can see things a little bit more clearly. So I think that that's awesome that you have that available for your clients and just for your audience.
Yeah, I used to plan for the year, and I think it started definitely started with my financial goals. And I remember saying, "Oh, I'm gonna save $10,000 this year. I'm gonna save $10,000 this year." And every year I would say it, every year I would write it down, every year I would say, "Okay, this is the year where I do this." And I would always fall short. Every single time, because it felt like no matter what I would do, it just felt like, okay, I say that I'm gonna do it, and then I might save $300, and then I end up spending it, and it just created this cycle where I just never ended up actually doing it. And I think it was because the goal itself was very overwhelming. The goal felt like, can I actually, maybe I could do this, but I'll start in 2, 3 weeks because the goal just felt so big. And so what I did instead was say, you know what? I get paid every single week. There's 52 weeks in a year. I'm gonna save $192 every single time I get paid. And that helped me hit the 10K goal because it broke it down into very, very bite-sized chunks. And even when I would get a little bit extra money, I would say, oh, let me just put this in my savings account and $30 here and $20 here. And I would create these little quarterly sheets where I would just highlight the different numbers and it would be like $60, $30, $40. And I give the sheet away. If you sign up for my mailing list, I give that sheet, it's a PDF, and I give it away. It's called a 30-day savings challenge. And if you do it, you save $1,000, but they're small amounts. And I love the fact that they're small amounts. There is no amount on the sheet that's higher than $60, which means that all of them are $60 and under. And if you save all 30 of the numbers, you have $1,000, and you do it 10 times, you have $10,000. And now you have hit that goal without feeling like you're trying to save 10,000. It's like I'm trying to save $30. And it feels easier. It feels like I can actually do that, which is why I love to break it down to the smallest denominator. I like to think about my daily goals instead of, oh, what am I going to do for the year?
It definitely makes it much better mindset wise too, right? To feel like, okay, I can accomplish that month over month or daily or quarterly. And so that's great. That's a great process to think about. You have your shop, so you have a lot of tools and resources for entrepreneurs and just people in general who want to get back on track and organize with their money. But what are some other ways that we can work with you? Can we set up one-on-one coaching with you? What are some other services that you offer?
Yeah, so I love doing one-on-one calls. If you are interested, I do have a link where you can just book a call with me and we can jump on and talk for 60 minutes. And you can tell me your personal situation. That's why I love those. And I can speak directly to your situation. And I do those calls for personal and business planning when it comes down to your money and trying to figure out if you're trying to figure it out for your business, we can talk about that, or your personal life, we can talk about that. And also, of course, I have all of my products, and I also have a membership for those who want consistent learning. Maybe you're on your own personal financial journey and you're saying, you know what? I need consistent classes and I want to look at a database of all of the classes that you have. There are probably over, 100 classes within the membership to where it's on a variety of topics and you can search through them to go to your specific area, whether it is debt reduction or savings. There are a bunch of different classes that are listed and will help you toward that particular goal. And so, however you choose, whatever route you go, or if you just want to learn more, go to my YouTube channel. I have a playlist called Start Here, and it is a list of 25 videos that just get you started with the thought process of getting your life organized.
Nice. And do you have any workshops or events upcoming that we should know about?
So all of the ones I have coming up are actually in person. So I have a couple here with the Pelicans. So they're going to be a basketball event that I am doing for HBCU Night. But the for online, I also go live on YouTube weekly. So if you are looking to see an example of a live class or just jump in and you just want to learn more and get more about how to get organized, I go live every single Tuesday on YouTube, and you can jump in into any one of my lives, ask me questions, or just enjoy the class itself.
That's so awesome, Elena. I am so grateful for you and your conversations and your expertise that you dropped in this episode. I definitely personally learned a lot, and learned a lot of things that I will be implementing into my personal and business. But just thank you so much for sharing that with our audience.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you all enjoyed this episode with Elena. I mean, I personally learned so much, so many new things that I plan to implement into my personal and business. So I am truly excited just to get started and to just turn over a new leaf when it comes to finances, especially this year. So if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow Elena over on social media at The Organized Money on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And also be sure to like and rate, subscribe to our podcast if you love it. Your love and engagement means the world to us, and it helps us to reach other new bosses like yourself. So if you like it, share it. And we're just so thankful for you and this community, and we will see you in the next episode. Bye, bosses.